Hi, and welcome to the Writing and Marketing Show, brought to you by author Wendy H. Jones. This show does exactly what it says on the tin. It's jam-packed with interviews, advice, hints, tips, and news to help you with the business of writing. It's all wrapped up in one lively podcast, so it's time to get on with the show. And welcome to episode 125 of the Writing and Marketing Show with author, entrepreneur, Wendy H. Jones. And as always, it's a pleasure to have you join me here on the show. I'm loving doing it. This week, we're going to be talking to the marvellous Caroline Dunford. And we're going to be talking about working with a literary agent, and that's part two. I gave my perspective last week. This week, we're going to get Caroline's perspective. So what's been happening in my life in the past week? Well, it's all been a bit of a go. I've done jury duty. I've had a bit of an accident in the car. I was fine. Somebody went into the back of me. Everybody was fine. I wasn't in the car at the time. So I've been sorting that out, and it's all been a bit fraught for the week. But I've still managed to get a load of work done. I've got a load of writing done. I've got a load of admin tasks sorted out. And I have taken over the running of a group on Facebook called Women Writers, Editors, Agents and Publishers, and it's a great group, and it's going to be jumping because I've got a lot of new ideas, and starting today we're doing a lot. So if you go to Facebook, you can join Women Writers, Editors, Agents and Publishers. I'll put the link in the show notes so you can find it, and it would be great if you could join us there, if you're eligible, of course, because it is for women. I didn't set the group up, someone else did, but that's what it's about, and it's a great group. And it ties in a bit with what we're talking about today, because there are agents in there and there are lots of different people in there who can help you with your writing journey. So before I introduce Caroline, I would just like to say it's an absolute pleasure to bring you this show every week. I do so willingly, and I don't mind doing it, but it does take time out of my writing. If you would like to support that time, you can do so by going to patreon.com/Wendy H. Jones. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N /Wendy H. Jones. And you can support me for the price of a tier coffee per month. So that's $3 a month. I would be extremely grateful. And it would mean that you like the show and you want it to continue up to the 200th episode and beyond, infinity and beyond, as they say. And I would appreciate the support because obviously every penny counts at the moment. And I know every penny counts for you as well. So if you would like to support me for a one-off, you can go to my website, Wendy H. Jones, click on Buy Me a Coffee, and you can just support me for the price of a tea or coffee per month. And again, I would be very grateful. So what of Caroline? Well, Caroline writes historical fiction, thrillers, crime fiction, romance and diverse plays. She also writes YA novels. She currently has 25 books published. Actually, I think that's more now. And she's always writing more. She's a part-time teaching fellow at Edinburgh University, designing and teaching courses in creative writing in the continuing learning department. She enjoys teaching writers of all abilities from age 12 upwards. She has run workshops both in her local library and at the Edinburgh International Book Fair. These have ranged from beginner writing workshops to themed events. Her Euphemia Martin series strongly features the class system before and during World War I. Her follow-on series focuses on the home front during World War II. She also writes about spies and spycraft from the earliest part of the 20th century. Her Daniel Truss series features a character who has severe difficulties in understanding the emotions of others and relies on body language. He is also a PTSD sufferer. She's a qualified psychotherapist, but she gave up practice to write and teach full-time. She's flexible in arranging events and workshops, and she wants to provide an entertaining and educating experience for her audience, and she can work on longer or shorter products. And I have to say, she is an extremely busy lady, so I'm very grateful that she's taken time out of her day to join us here today. And without further ado, let's get on with the show and meet Caroline. And we have Caroline with us. Welcome, Caroline.
Hi, Wendy. Good to be here.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show. You're always entertaining and you always give us such good advice, I have to say. Just remind me, where are you in the world?
I'm in Edinburgh, and I now feel that I've got a lot to live up to. But I'm in Edinburgh in Scotland, down by the sea. Well, in a house down by the sea.
Yes. Well, you have a beautiful house as well, I have to say. It's very picturesque. It's the sort of house you imagine a writer to be writing in.
Yes, and tidying with books everywhere.
Absolutely, books everywhere. A bit like where I'm sitting, yeah, books everywhere. So, Caroline, you know, what's the weather like where you are? We've got sun in Dundee.
It's coming and going. It was really warm yesterday. It was warm and beautiful yesterday. And this afternoon, I managed to sit outside and read for a bit, but it was kind of chilly. It said it's going to be warmish again, well, 16 degrees, which is warm for us. But not convinced. And there's no sun today. It's kind of grey.
It's all in Dundee, that's why. You need to move to Dundee, the sunniest city in Scotland. Apparently. God help the rest of Scotland, is all Isaac can say, if we're the sunniest city. Anyway, moving on from Dundee and Edinburgh's ability to muster up sun, people are waiting to hear about working with a literary agent. And I'm very excited to be doing this with you because I recently interviewed Amy Collins of Talcott Notch Literary Agency, and now I'm looking at the author's perspective. So I know you've also signed with Amy. So could you tell us how that came about?
Okay, to place in context, I think I have been looking for a literary agent for roughly 15 years.
Gosh.
And I've never found anyone who wanted to take me on that I wanted to take me on, to paraphrase Groucho Marx. But I knew that Amy was looking for clients, and I knew about Amy. And I just sent her an email saying, look, I hear you're interested in new clients. Can I pitch to you? Which isn't quite the normal way of doing it. But it turned out she'd also heard of me. And she said, oh, let's talk. You would be my dream client. What? And, you know, flattery. And that was me. I was just, no. I'm slightly going on to what you might ask next, in that what we did was we agreed to meet online. And she told me what it was that she could offer me, and I talked to her about what I was writing, what I hope to do in future, and we just got on really well. And I think that's really what clinched it. It's about finding somebody that you actually come into sync with. So my way of pitching to her, I was going to say, it was a bit informal, but only because, you know, I'd been around a long time, and I had, by the time I pitched to Amy, already published quite a lot of books, you know, sort of 30 odd, and I was already with them headline. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's brilliant. And she said, I really want to represent you. She said, do you want to think about it? No, it's fine. It's fine. But she still made me go away and think about it again, which was good.
Yeah. When an agent's interested in you, want to bite their hand off, don't you? And but you do have to think about it carefully. And I think that's what I brought up in my episode last week, that it's important to think about it as well, because really and truly, the minute an agent wants you, you're like, yes, sign me up. But it needs to be the right person, which is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. It needs to be the right person at the right time in your career. And it has to be somebody that you feel you can trust.
Yes, absolutely. And that trust is important. And I think you can very much trust Amy.
So,
I mean, to be honest, we've covered question two as well. So it's fine. Yeah. We've covered it all in one fell swoop, and that's great. That's what we like. We can all have our lunch before we know where we are. Joking. So could you give my listeners some tips for writing a pitch to a literary agent based on what you've already done?
Well, it's considering I've been on the hunt from beforehand, I think it does depend where you are in your career. I mean, there are very basic things you have to make certain of. You have to make certain that your agent is actually open at that time, is looking for new clients, which is something you can find, should be able to find on their website, because you can find agents' names in the Writers and Artists Handbook or all over the place. There's lots of places that recommend them. But then you actually have to go see if at that time they are interested. Otherwise, your submission is just going to bounce back. You also have to see that they're interested in what you're writing. I think this is a difficult area, because people sometimes think, oh, this person concentrates on selling crime. I've got a great horror story. I won't compete with any of their other authors. I should go to them. Where in actual fact, if they don't deal in crime writers, it's horror writers, it's because they don't want to deal with horror writers. So although you don't want to be the same as any of their clients, you want to be the same but different. You know, you can be in the, they will have areas that they're interested in, and getting books and manuscripts from writers that they want to particularly pitch, whether it's young adult or whether it's even nonfiction or whatever. But again, check the website. Agents, even when they're open, especially, always have a list of what they are seeking. And if you think that you fit that, great. Don't try and squeeze yourself into something you don't really fit. Mm-hmm. And you also have to pick somebody that you think you will like. I mean, it's, I know you've only got a photograph and maybe a little bit of writing about them, but if you think, oh, this person looks as if they vote entirely the opposite way to me and we're going to have lots of arguments, don't pitch to them. And then when you do pitch, make it professional. It has to be informative, but it has to be short. Don't ramble. They only have so much time. And just include whatever they ask for on their website, no more and no less. If you've had, as I had had, quite a lot of books published, it's sometimes worth dropping an agent an email saying, look, I'm looking for an agent, would you be interested? But that would just be like, and would they like to see a full pitch, but that might just be a few lines if you've met. Or but just because you've met them at a conference or something like that, don't necessarily expect them to remember you. So I think that's it. Let's just be polite, professional, be careful. Pitch too.
That's good. Are there any key things that someone should know before pitching to an agent? That's just taking it a little bit further.
Yeah. I was thinking, well, I think for you, you have to know what you want to do with your writing career. I mean, are you asking them to take you on and make you a bestseller? Are you saying you want to write another, you know, a book a year, or you want to write a book every 5 years? Be ready to answer questions as to how many books you want to write. And if you're saying, oh, I just written this book and I don't want to write any others, don't be surprised if they say no, because they make their money from 15% of what you earn. And unless you're going to be bringing in money, then no matter how much they like you, there's no point taking you on. Think about what you want from them as well, because different agents do different things. So when they say, why do you want an agent? What do you want from me? Is it that you want somebody to do another read of your book, to edit it? Do you want somebody to talk to you about where you, how you're going to change your career? Or do you have a book that you think was going to break into the market and be a phenomenal bestseller, and you want to make sure it's pitched properly? Be ready to answer those kind of questions and know what you want.
No, they're good points. Yeah. And I think you need to know the agent as well. And that's important. Yes. Look it up. Look up about the agent, not just the website. See what sorts of books they're bringing out, you know, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they should have that up on the website too. But, yes, I mean, it's also worth looking in books that you think, I like this and I could almost have written it, looking inside and seeing who they thank as their agent, and then looking them up online, because most people do thank their agent if they want to keep them.
Good point. I'm writing that down. But it's true. That's a very good point, actually. You can look inside and see who the agents are, and then look up and see if they've got any vacancies, so to speak. Although it doesn't work like that. It's not just that they've got a vacancy, it's that they're open. Because Amy, in her session, said that she gets about 1,500 pitches a month.
Wow.
When she's open, 1,500 a month. So you have to stand out. And the first thing that will make you stand out is that you've actually done it professionally, and you've stuck to what they say they do. Because if you go and pitch a romance to them and they don't touch romance with a 10-foot pole, you're not going anywhere.
No.
So going on to working with a literary agent. Now, I'm going to be, you know, I've only had my literary agent for a fortnight, so I'm really going to be listening to this. What are the key points that's important to remember when working with a literary agent?
I think it's about keeping in contact and building the relationship, but in a way that isn't pestering. Mm-hmm. And that's the line to sort of find, because your agent will have lots of people that they are dealing with all the time. So when you have something to tell them, make appropriate contact. And yes, don't ignore them, but don't snowball them with lots of bits and pieces, and don't demand. I mean, a lot of the time your agent's working for you and they won't tell you until something actually pops up. So don't assume that just because you haven't heard from them, that they haven't, that they're not doing what you need them to do. And also, if you can, I'm going to tell you a bit about my experience with Amy, but also, put in regular meetings. I mean, even if it's just 5 minutes on a Zoom call or on the phone, you should have, I would say, a really touch-based meeting once a month.
Yeah.
Even if it's short, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're good points. And obviously, as Amy pointed out, all agents are different. Amy might want that and might like that, to have a five-minute meeting once a month to just touch base and say, this is what's happening. And other agents might not be so keen at all. You know, they just want
absolutely
to be in the background.
Yeah, you just do how you, yeah. I mean, and that's part of getting to know who your agent is and feeling that you're the right person.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's key. But you'll know that with the relationship you build up with them. Mm. And if they are the right person, then you'll work it out between you, you know. So you have told us a little bit about your experience. Is there anything else you can tell us about your experience of working with a literary agent that might help us?
Yes. I mean, it's a professional relationship, but that doesn't mean to say it's like having a relationship with a lawyer. It's a lot more fun than that. I was looking around because somewhere I have a tiara and it's not real. It's you have one too. I see Amy sent me one because I said that my vice was jewellery and I wanted a tiara. So she sent me this plastic but very sparkly one, and said, you know, one day you'll be able to afford to buy a new one with what we'll make. So we have similar senses of humour. And then I posed for most of my photographs with the tiara on for a while and people thought I was very strange. we were together for a while, and when we finally met for lunch, and we do have the same sense of humour. It's quite dark. I had my second son, who nickname is the Bear, with me, and they got on like a house on fire. If he ever writes a book, I tell you, he's a shoo-in. I mean, I don't think he will, because I once described being a writer as always having homework, and he thought that sounded terrible. We were all Star Trek fans, and it was, you know, one of those moments where there were a lot of commonalities, and, you know, what were the most important superpowers to ever have, and all that kind of thing. So we were on the same page, even though I'm writing crime, we're talking about Star Trek. Amy and I talk on Zoom at least once a month. Sometimes it's twice a month. And she also constantly pitches me. I don't question where she's pitching me or what she's actually doing. Every now and then she'll send me a list and say, by the way, I pitched you all here. Or she'll say, oh, by the way, one of your things got through the first round of Netflix. First time she did that, I squeaked and flapped like a loon. But it means absolutely nothing because there are so many rounds. But it's a good thing, and it's a great thing that an agent can do. But yes. And I will send her an email because we have fixed meetings if I need to let her know how my writing or editing is going. Not even sort of like I'm going to be late. It could be this is going really well. This is developing this way. And very occasionally we do text each other if I think I found something that she might find useful, or something that I think will make her laugh. We said we would work towards being friends, and I think we are friends. I don't think you have to be friends with your literary agent. But I think in my case I am, and that's just a bonus.
It is, absolutely. It's a bonus, yes. And not everybody will expect that from their agent, but they should at least get on.
Oh, yes.
On a personal as well as professional level, yeah. So as an already established author, would you mind telling us what you thought a literary agent could bring to the table?
Well, I think it takes a lot of time and effort to work with even the nicest of publishers. And when you're an author, they often think that you don't really understand the business. In fact, my publisher, I think when she met Amy, my main publisher, said she was quite surprised that I actually seemed to understand how things worked. And that was just because I've been doing it for so long and I'd made an effort. But it's hard work. Now, an agent takes that completely off your shoulders. They know far better than you how to manage your contracts. And they go about selling your books all over the place. So for me, the main thing for being an agent, apart from having somebody in, you know, else in your corner and talking about where you might, what you might write next or where you might pitch, is that it gives you the luxury of just writing. You don't have to worry about anything else apart from doing your taxes. And that is, for me, especially after all, it was a huge relief. And contracts, Amy's got me, she's got me contracts with people I've never heard of. And when she's redoing contracts, she does all the talking and negotiating. And I so don't want to do that. I'm so grateful that she does that.
Yeah. Well, no, they're really, that's really good because they do take it all off your shoulders, but they also can pitch you to, as you say, to places that you never thought you would pitch, like Netflix.
Yeah, you places know, that you wouldn't get on the table of. She has meetings with people from, in which she has a whole stable of authors.
Yes.
They sound like horses, but she has a whole stable of authors. She pitches to Disney, she pitches to all over the place, places that wouldn't open the door to you without an agent.
Absolutely. And there's all sorts of other things like audio rights and, you know, foreign language rights, and they can do all the negotiation for you, and that makes things much better and much easier, as you say. Right, out of all of this, could you give us your top three tips when it comes to authors and agents working together?
I would say always be professional, but nurture the relationship. It is a partnership, whether it's friends or slightly friends or just civil. It's something that hopefully you're going to have for a long time. So pay attention to it. And that, I suppose, includes the next one would be value what they do for you, even if you're not seeing it at the time, as we're talking about. Thank them for the work they're doing on your behalf. Because, at the end of the day, they get 15% of what you earn. But that means that you get 85% of what you earn. So you're coming out of this better than they are, by a long way. And the other thing is, make time, especially if they're asking, to check in with them, to talk about ideas you have rather than just going off on one down one pathway or another, and to actually listen and consider their advice. I mean, you don't have to do everything your agent tells you to. If you really don't want to do something, then, you know, you're not going to have to do it. But to actually go contrary to your agent's advice means that the relationship's not working.
Yes.
So, for example, Amy hasn't, but Amy could have said to me, could you write a nonfiction book on the 12 best ways to kill someone? And I would say, not sure I'm comfortable doing that. And she would say, then, okay, if you're not comfortable doing that, fine. What about doing, and we'd agree on something else. Mm-hmm. So I'm not closing down negotiations or talking, but I'm still being true to myself, but we're still building the relationship and moving my career and then her career as well forward. So those are my three tips.
Three fantastic tips. Now, we've been talking about your books, and you're an established author. Can you tell us about your books?
I have two main series that people might enjoy. I have the Euphemia Martin's Mistress, which is set in World War One and is crime and mystery. And I have the Hope Stapleford Mistress, which is a much newer series, which is set in the Second World War. Now, that's out. The third one of that is out on the 21st of July. And that's Hope for Tomorrow. I recently published a young adult novel, Fake News. I've got another one coming out next year, title to be confirmed, and I also have a Victorian steampunk coming out next year with the Lost Boys Press, which I'm quite excited about. It's called The Augmenters.
I'm very impressed with your versatility. I think you're the only person I know that's more versatile than me with my offering.
You just have to embrace steampunk. There you are. Then you'll be totally versatile.
Steampunk. I wouldn't even know where to start with steampunk. I'll have to read yours and then I'll know. So my final question, as always, is where can my listeners find out more about you and your books?
Well, they can find my website at www.caroline-dunford@squarespace.com. And Squarespace is all one word. Yeah. You can also find the Euphemia Martin's Mysteries and just Caroline Dunford on Facebook. And there's a Caroline Dunford fan club as well. So there's three on Facebook. I generally write very openly. So, you know, you can look at my blog if you like as well. I'm on Twitter as Vedandi Weaves, which no one can spell.
I can spell it because I know what it is. But I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. And every Friday, my character, who became very popular because publishers and readers wanted him to be popular, called Fitzroy, who's a spy, produces an excerpt from his diary, which are not in chronological order, but fill in some of the gaps in the stories. Mm. And that's up on Friday on the Squarespace. But you could you can find it through Facebook and Twitter, and it's for free. So you get his Friday musings. Although sometimes I think he has too much brandy and they don't come out until Saturday morning. But I try to get him to release it on Fridays.
Oh, listen, these spies, they just won't do what they're told.
No, especially the ones from the early days, the ones with the overlarge ego personalities.
They think they run the place.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Caroline. It's been an absolute pleasure having you join me again. It really has. I've enjoyed it. And thank you for your advice.
Well, thank you for having me, Wendy. It's always fun.
My pleasure. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
That brings us to the end of another show. It was really good to have you on the show with me today. I'm Wendy H. Jones, and you can find me at wendyhjones.com. You can also find me on Patreon, where you can support me for as little as $3 a month, which is less than the price of a tea or coffee. You go to patreon.com/WendyHJones. I'm also Wendy H. Jones on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you found it both useful and interesting. Join me next week when I will have another cracking guest for you. Until then, have a good week and keep writing, keep reading, and keep learning.